The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
I hand it to our listeners, our texters at all hours. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. They're all brilliant. I don't differentiate 1 hour listeners from another. They're all great. Bradley Van Pelt, apparently, from multiple texts, is a broadcaster for Sky Sports as a football analyst in Great Britain.
Excuse me?
That's what the texts say.
Okay. Wow. The fact that we had multiple people that knew that is quite impressive. I didn't know we had so many listeners across the pond, but that's cool. Good for him.
Again, this is from Susan Bolton. Susan, thank you for the information. Wow.
Sky Sports. Cool. What kind of football are we talking about in Great Britain?
Well, they talk about American football. Sky Sports is like ESPN.
Okay.
So kind of, if you think of it this way, you see soccer, you see English Premier League highlights occasionally on ESPN, right. And every now and then there's somebody in a multicolored jacket with an accent, and they're talking about soccer, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's Bradley Van Pelt, I guess. That's what Sky Sports is. So there you go. Baltimore.
So, Richie, I think you're going to have to. Well, you were just about to say it.
Go ahead.
I think Richie's whole, he hasn't been hired yet. That's about to end. Vic Fangio, you know, it's past Wednesday, right? I do think this is very logical. Baltimore just fired their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, who has been here. Long time employee out there in Baltimore.
That's crazy.
And
they fired Wink.
We know that Vic has got all kinds of connections to the Harbaughs. He's worked for him before. I don't know which one did you work for?
Well, I worked for John.
You worked for John
with the Niners.
Did he work with them?
Not Jim. And didn't he work with Jim at Stanford as well?
So he worked with both.
No, just Jim. I think he worked for Jim with the Niners and Stanford.
Okay. All right. So he hasn't worked for John. But anyways, I do think that's a very logical spot because, you know, Vic is in theory waiting it out to pick the right destination on a good team. That's a great spot. It makes a lot of sense. The scheme, it's a good fit. You don't have to change the personnel. I would not be shocked at all if Vic Fangio becomes the next coordinator.
Yeah, it's a pretty miserable place, Baltimore. That would fit his mood.
Yes. It's dark.
Right,
it's gloomy.
Yeah. It is. It's dark. It's gloomy. It's near like a shipping area. Yeah.
It's all industrial.
Right. They don't have enough parking to have a baseball and a football game going on at the same time.
They do have that one harbor area.
Inner Harbor.
That's pretty nice.
It's
right?
Okay.
But that's about all they get.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, it's pretty nice. It's pretty cool.
It's perfect for Vic Fangio. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
Wink Martindale. To Denver.
Man, Wink, Wink was getting a lot of credit over the years, man. People were.
Let's make sure I'm not merging my timelines here, but Wink was with Josh, right? He was our defensive coordinator with McDaniels.
I want to say he was, and I think he survived McDaniels and was.
Yeah. I was around Wink. I'm merging the timeline a little bit. I believe he came in with Josh McDaniels, and he was famous for his Jordans. The dude had a good get-up. He's like the Cecil Lammy of coaches.
Nice.
That's what he is.
Nice.
Like he matches the top to the shoes every single day. He comes out to practice. He's got the fresh kicks on. He was a player favorite of that coaching staff. He was like one of the very few coaches that players actually liked being around. It's a very surprising fire because he's been out there forever.
Oh, you just say it on the air, Rich. It'd be a lot easier.
He was the linebackers coach here in 2009, and he was the defensive coordinator here post Josh in 2010.
Okay, so he did survive. How long was he here as the DC?
That I'll have to look into.
So he sort of survived Josh a little bit. Yeah, I could have sworn he was around. So
that's a good point. I don't know how I didn't think about this. Good point on the text line. Somebody says, Tyler, that doesn't make any sense. Do you not remember the Fangio-Harbaugh feud with Fangio going nuts after the game?
And, he hates him.
That's a fair point, Texter. I probably should have thought of that. That's a good point. Yeah.
Right. Fangio hates Harbaugh.
Yeah, he hates him. Right.
And he ripped him after the game.
Yeah. So that's like my bad. That's good. Good job, Texter. My bad, yo.
So we'll have to wait till next Thursday for Vic to get in.
So you're right, Richie. Yeah, Richie. You might be able to continue the tweets. It might be next Thursday. Yes.
Right. There's no way Fangio gets that job.
They both hate each other.
They both hate each other.
Yeah. What the hell are we talking about?
Well, he did work with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You got your Harbaughs mixed up.
Thank you. I did. I mean, they're both J's.
So did I.
I mean, who does that? Hey, why do you got to name them both a J?
Tell me about it. So annoying. I had the Bills host Kansas City earlier in the show. Again, just say it with confidence and plow forward. That's sure. All you got to do.
Sure.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy interviewing now. What's the what's it been like? How was it with Callahan and O'Connell? We'll give you some behind-the-scenes news about it coming up next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and DMAC on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Well, I'm reading this story about Don Martindale, who got fired as DC from Baltimore.
That's wink to you.
My man, wink. He had 1 year remaining. John Harbaugh said they agreed to move forward in separate directions. This is a surprise.
Yeah, it is a surprise move, man. I mean, he's a legendary coach. He's got a Rex Ryan type of mentality. We call him Rolodex Blitzers. He's going to bring 25 different blitzes per game, and he's not going to bring the same blitz more than once or twice, whereas most teams, they really game plan the specific blitzes that they want to bring, and they only bring one or two over the course of the game. He goes to the Rolodex. He's known to be a very aggressive coach, but he's been out in Baltimore since 2012, which is an eternity in NFL terms. I mean, seriously, what coach lasts a decade in the exact same city? That's an eternity.
I know. Wow. Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting. Is that somebody the Broncos should be interested in?
Well, maybe. It depends on who you're hiring. If are you talking about for head coach? No,
head coach.
Yeah, I mean, if you hire Dan Quinn, then of course not. No, Dan Quinn has got his own philosophy, which it's different than a 3-4. It's a 4-3. Front, but they use 3-4 principles. So it would be a transition for the Broncos, but you'd really only have to change one player. It's not that big of a deal as far as personnel goes. You got to change your defensive end. And so we would need to get a 5-tech rather than a 4-eye. But, if you go to Wink, that's going to be like you hired Getsy, you hired Hackett, you hired somebody on the offensive side of the ball.
So in 09, he's the linebackers coach for the Broncos. That's with Josh and you. And then he was promoted to D.C. in 10. Now, Mike Nolan was fired in 9 or 10 because he was the original defense coordinator with Josh. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess he must have replaced Nolan at some point.
I just
point.
Remember him being one of the rare likable coaches that was on that staff. And all the players gravitated towards him.
Here's the problem, though. when they got rid of Josh, they blew out a lot of coaches. And so he spent a year on the beach. He did not coach in 11. And then he was hired by the Ravens in 12 and went from there. Wow, he was with the Ravens a long darn time.
I'm telling you, man, 10 years on one team, that is forever.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's an organization that continuity is one of the most important things that they've got. I mean, they don't change anything out there in Baltimore.
Just the timing is kind of interesting, right? Like, I don't know. I suppose teams just go through everything at this time of year and figure out what's working, what's not.
Well, it is a little bit unusual, but it's what happened with Scangarello. But Scangarello was unusual. Most of the time, they make these moves right away the second the season ends.
Right.
But if you think back on Scangs, Vic said, we're going to take a week or two here, get away from the building. I'm going to try to decompress, not make any emotional decisions, came back and fired Scangs.
All right, Eric Bieniemy is interviewing right now, as a matter of fact. The Broncos flew to Los Angeles yesterday, and then they interviewed Callahan, by the way, when they were in Los Angeles. So they did wait till they got settled and whatever, and they're in Los Angeles, and then they put him up on Zoom and talked to him for a bit. Then they interviewed O'Connell from 7 to 11 p.m. last night. They got up relatively early this morning and got a plane, and now they're talking to Eric Bieniemy right now. I was told there's no decision whether or not there's going to be a second round of interviews. It's undecided. There may be, there may not be. But EB is the last guy.
Mm-hmm.
What does Eric Bieniemy have to do, in your opinion, to try to convince the Broncos he's their guy, he's their man? What does he have to sell them on?
So that's an interesting one. I don't know that he has to really do anything. I think if Eric Bieniemy is the guy, he's probably already done it, because George Payton's got such an intimate relationship with him. He's been around him so long. I mean, if George Payton is interviewing Eric Bieniemy, it's kind of like, hello, how are you? Like, how you been? What's new with the family? How are the kids? What are you really going to grill a guy on that you've been around them? You've tangibly seen how they do business every single day. It sort of feels like, to me, Eric Bieniemy, he doesn't really have to do anything special in this interview to get the job. It's going to be his background. It's going to be the years that he spent in Minnesota. And it's going to be the relationship that George Payton has with him. So, I mean, Eric Bieniemy, if you want to go over the resume, he's got a fantastic resume.
Check. Resume is great.
I mean, he's got the experience. He's got a coach that is vouching for him. He's got a coach that went out of his way during a playoff game to allow Eric Bieniemy to call plays, to make a point to the NFL that, hey, guess what? Eric Bieniemy can call plays. So I don't know that Eric Bieniemy has to do anything special. I mean, I would think that of all the job opportunities Eric Bieniemy has had, this opportunity here, and we've assumed that the Vikings were going to interview him, but as of now, they have not put any request for him.
That is correct. Right.
I've made an assumption on a personal level that the Broncos and the Vikings would be two of the best opportunities he's ever had, because what organization knows Eric Bieniemy better than the Vikings or George Payton?
The Chiefs. I mean, nobody. To answer your question.
Yeah, the Chiefs.
No, nobody.
The Chiefs, and obviously they're not going to hire him.
Yeah, just the opposite. It looks like Andy Reid has really gone above and beyond to help him out.
I guess, I mean, I made that pretty simple, so I'll turn that on you. Am I missing something here?
I don't think so.
What goes on in this interview today with Eric Bieniemy? I mean, what are they trying to learn about Eric Bieniemy?
I think they have to be, in my opinion, they have to be reassured, like they do with a lot of these guys who haven't been head coaches. How are you going to manage other people? Because such a big part of the job is managing other people, not just the X's and O's. And it certainly is, like, that's where Josh McDaniels just absolutely fell apart. It was just an absolute disaster. Nick Fangio was just like, meh. Vijay was inexperienced with it, and he had problems with it because, you know, Mike McCoy wouldn't listen to him, and they didn't have good communication. This is where Gary Kubiak really shined. This is where any coach who's had their job for a long time has figured out. So look at any coach, you look at Andy Reid, or you look at Mike Tomlin, or you look at Bill Belichick, or you look at, I don't know, Tyler, Pete Carroll, for example. These are just guys that have figured out a way to manage other people. They're clearly the CEO. They're the boss. So I think it has to be a blend of, you know, sternness with sensitivity at the same time. You have to have that mix.
I mean, I guess,
I think this is why Dable, by the way, is not getting that many opportunities out there. I think that's the rip on him, that he just is not very good, like, managing other folks. It's counting against Dable, it appears.
I guess if I'm George Payton, all I really want to know is, what did you learn since you left? So how has Kansas City changed you?
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to do to your philosophy? Is that who you are now? Are you going to do anything that we used to do in Minnesota? Or is this who you are? And I would imagine this is who he is. I mean, when Eric Bieniemy gets a job, he's going to run the Andy Reid system. That's what it's going to be. I think the biggest compliment you could give Eric Bieniemy is that Andy Reid is going far out of his way to try to prove that this guy is a legitimate candidate. And, you know, it's one thing, like every organization, when you ask about an assistant quarterback's coach or the offensive coordinator, every organization says he's going to be a great head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But not every organization goes out of their way to let that guy call plays, especially in a playoff game.
Mm.
So I think that's the biggest compliment that I could give it, is that Andy Reid is, he's not just giving him his stamp. I mean, he's doing what he can to destigmatize the myth that he doesn't call plays.
I think I think EB's got a legit shot. He's got, I don't know, man. I guess I'd have to, if they, I get Dan Quinn. Listen, the only thing, the thing that Dan Quinn has above everybody is he's done it before. That's it. He's done it. If that's what they value, experience actually being the head coach, he's got it. And they didn't interview anybody else that had had that sort of experience. They could have, but they didn't. They didn't interview Jim Caldwell. They didn't interview Doug Peterson. They didn't interview, I don't know, give me somebody else that's just out there. They just didn't interview those type of guys. They just interviewed Dan Quinn. So Quinn is kind of in this one-horse race, right? But take that out of the picture, and there's it's hard to figure out like what anybody else has necessarily over Eric Bieniemy. So today's a big day. It'll be very fascinating to see how it all goes and where it all stacks up. And we'll see. It still feels like it's Dan Quinn's job, though, Tyler. It does feel like that. But
it does. You know, I was just thinking really quickly here, but, sure. You know, we've talked a lot about how the Bill Belichick coaching tree is dying. I think that Andy Reid has got a very similar coaching tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Who else we got off that tree?
So you're talking about Pat Shurmur, Sean McDermott. Okay, he's having success.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich. Well, he's got some that are thriving. Certainly, Sean McDermott is thriving. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that one. John Harbaugh. Okay, that's obviously a tremendous success story. So, okay, I mean, he's got some guys that are thriving still.
How's the Vic Fangio tree doing?
Yeah, not well. Actually, fantastic. Staley.
That's right, Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
He'll figure out when to call those timeouts. It's no offense, missed the playoffs with a superstar quarterback. You know, just one of those guys. All right, no offense Friday on the text line. Hey, what you got to say? Throw no offense in front of it. You can say anything. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Passed away at age 74. No way. There's some good songs, though, huh? Anything for love. But I won't do that.
It's a tender voice.
Oh, what a great voice.
What is the one thing, though?
He would do anything.
Yeah, nobody else?
He's not going to do that, though.
I mean, what is it? That doesn't make sense to me. Whatever. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. What that could possibly be. Yeah,
everybody has their line.
That line? Some days it don't come easy. I kind of want to listen to the whole thing now and just figure it out.
I know. Good luck.
Like, I'm tempted.
6.5 minutes on you?
Is that what it is? 6.5 minutes?
Hey, 8 minute song.
Did Meatloaf do a song that was under 6.5 minutes?
I don't know.
Ah, man. Meatloaf. That's sad. Sad news about Meatloaf. No offense Friday. Transitions are fun. Just put no offense in front of it, and then there you go. Hey, did you read the article about Aaron Rodgers in ESPN.com today?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. It's a long one. You got to give yourself time for it. It is lengthy.
All right, good. So, you know, I'm more of a Cliff Notes type of guy anyway. So.
Yeah, this was not a Cliff Note article.
Go ahead. Hand me the Cliff Notes.
It was just a half-hour interview with Kevin Van Valkenburg, and he had reached out to Rodgers, and Rodgers said, well, let's talk because I feel like this is going to be a hit piece and I'd rather have my questions answered, you know, one-on-one.
Okay. All right.
And then Rodgers, a lot of it was about the vaccination stuff. A lot of it. You know, I guess I just wasn't as tuned in to all the details with what has been happening with Aaron Rodgers and the vax and not vax. I was much more on the surface about the original story.
I've not read the article, but just based off the way you set it up, I respect what Aaron Rodgers did. I have no idea what's in the article, but I mean, if somebody is going to write an article about you and they're asking for a few questions, you don't necessarily like the tone of it, but you don't run from it. You sit down and you give them everything.
No, he holds grudges. He remembers everything. He's a merry prankster. He, for example, he stuck Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged book behind him, like when he was doing the Peyton Manning cast, Eli and Peyton cast, because they were asking him about what books he read. He's never read that book, but he just thought it would be funny to have behind him. He never had COVID toe, but he made it, you know, like he had COVID toe. And then they go into details about some sort of reporter out in California, and she made some sort of comment about it, and then he went after her, and her life was so bad that she had to go live with her mom for like a week because she was getting so much hate stuff from it. And it's a really interesting article to go through all the details of this past season with Aaron Rodgers.
Is the Meatloaf song long enough to read it all?
I don't think so.
No.
Dude, it goes for a while.
Right.
It's worth reading if you give yourself some time to digest it, but you'll see easily the complexities of Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of it, I was really, it did point out, there have been several times during the season where he's kind of pointed out about being in the moment. The Office is his favorite show, and there is a scene where Andy says to the camera, "Wouldn't it be great to know that the good old days are happening right now, so you know to enjoy what's happening now as the good old days?"
Yeah.
And using that, framing that, Rodgers has at several times during the season said things to his teammates which would indicate like, hey, we should enjoy this moment right here, as to indicate he might not be back again.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a deep dude. He's a weirdo. He's got different thoughts that and people don't like different thoughts. I get it. But for the most part, the one thing that I do respect about Aaron Rodgers is he's kind of embraced who he is.
The whole article is about that.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I could ask for.
That's the general tone of the whole thing that he has. And
he doesn't run from anything. He's not trying to hide. Well, I guess you could say he tried to hide the COVID deal. I get that, but
it went through that whole thing about how he semantically in his mind went through immunizations, and it was well thought out. He said that he knew that question would come, and he would thought exactly how he was going to answer it. Through an assortment of treatments, he considered himself immunized, not vaccinated. Take that for whatever it's worth. But it nothing happened. It's interesting with Rodgers. Nothing happens with him accidentally. Nothing. He's another one of these guys where everything is really well thought out, no matter what it is.
So here's the deal. I don't really care how weird he gets. I don't really care who he offends. If he wants to play for the Broncos, I'm in. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't care if he doesn't talk to his brother. I don't care if he holds grudges. I don't care about any of it. If you want to be an MVP and you want to be the Broncos quarterback, sign me up, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you this. After reading that, because logically, it wouldn't make sense for the MVP on a team like the Packers to go anywhere else. But if you read this article, it's pretty clear that any assumption you would make about anything with Rodgers, throw it out the window.
He marches to the beat of his own drum.
No doubt about it. I don't care if they do win the Super Bowl, even though logically he would go back. Tyler, I think this guy could do anything. Now, he has vowed that he is going to make his mind up and make it clear what he wants to do relatively close to the end of the season. Do you buy that or not? Do you think he'll sort of keep that promise where he'll let everybody know?
So he said he's going to let everybody know what his intentions are
relatively soon after the end of the season.
Well, that would be good. That would be the right thing to do, quite frankly, for everybody. So, I mean, if he said it, I actually do believe him. If he said that, 100%, I believe him that he will do that, because he's the type of guy that he's going to want to honor his word, I think. I don't know what he's going to do. My gut tells me he's going to stay put. He's going to stay right there in Green Bay, because why in the world would he want to leave? But like we said, who can figure that guy out? Nobody can.
Maybe Mike Kliss can. He'll join us coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Liss, our 9 News Broncos insider, joins us courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. Mike, what can you tell us? Bring us inside this coaching search. How is everybody doing? What are you hearing?
Yes, they're meeting with Eric Bieniemy right now. They sat down or landed about an hour and a half ago, so they got it started about the Bieniemy interview about a half hour, 40 minutes ago. And, you know, that's number 10. It's number 11 in 4 years for Bieniemy, and number 10 in about 10 days for Peyton's gang. So, and then after this, you know, what I've been told is George kind of wants to regroup, talk about it with his committee tomorrow and go forward from there. And that may mean a second round of interviews with one to three finalists. It may not. But right now that has not been decided. So they want to give Bieniemy full attention, full consideration that he, of course, deserves and has earned. And then I'm sure they'll talk a little bit on the plane ride back, although they've got to be exhausted. They've had seven interviews right in the last 4 days, guys, and it's been crisscrossing the country.
Well, why are they doing that, Mike? Like, I really don't understand it at all. Obviously, I understand why you went to Eric Bieniemy. I understand why you go to the guys that are in the playoffs. But why are they doing that? It seems so counterproductive to me to be on the road, traveling to all these people, exhausting yourself. I don't understand. Why are they going to all these guys?
George wants them in person. There's only one that they didn't do in person, and that was Brian Callahan.
But you couldn't do it in person in Denver?
Unavoidable. That was kind of unavoidable the way the map was laid out. They tried, but the way the map was laid out, and, you know, with Callahan and O'Connell and Bieniemy in the playoffs, they had to be later in the week. I do think George wants to move here. You know, come to a decision this weekend and move pretty quickly by early next week. So that's the way it kind of fell out. These playoff team coaches really aren't available till later in the week, and since they were spread out, that's the only reason why Callahan was in Zoom, and they conducted that interview. They were in L.A. when that happened. They landed in L.A. You know, took an hour to rest up from their flight from Philly, and then they had the Zoom interview with Callahan, and then last night they had the in-person interview with O'Connell.
Okay, all right. Well,
in-person's the answer.
Well, I don't understand that. Tyler, I mean, they can't come here. Yeah. Is that a COVID rule or something? Like, can these guys not travel to Denver? Because in person, and you always do it in person. They come to you.
The playoff coaches don't.
Right, I understand
the
that.
The playoff coaches do not at this time of year.
No, I totally
understand. They shifted the schedule around. They've made these guys available during the playoffs more than they did before. If you remember before, you had to be on a bye, or you had to wait till you were done with the playoffs before you could interview. And that was deemed unfair to the playoff coaches. And so they've kind of made these guys more available earlier in the playoff rounds. But you got to go to them if you want to be in person.
Can you offer and have it accepted and a coach still be actively in the playoffs?
Can I say that again?
Can you, Eric Bieniemy?
Okay. Yeah.
On Monday, they win. They beat the Bills, which I'd be devastated by. But say they beat the Bills, and the Broncos say, we want to offer
Eric. He's our guy.
He's our guy. Yeah. We want to offer him a job. Can they do that while he's still, and can he accept while they're still in the playoffs?
You know, they did that a bunch of years ago, I remember, with Charlie Weiss of New England. But that was during the Super Bowl week. That hiring occurred after the conference championship game. That's a good question. I would hope the answer to that is yes.
Because you have five, guys that they've interviewed, five that could all still be in the playoffs after Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I understand that. So, and that's probably a reason why. That's one thing, George. You know, he's a deliberator. He goes through this methodically. That's part of something that he's thinking about. You know, and if you do something like that, you know, let's say it's Bieniemy, O'Connell, and who else?
Hackett, Getsy, and Callahan.
Hackett. And let's say Hackett. Let's say those are your top three.
Yeah.
And, you know, you somehow, some way, you've got to get – you're going to have a second round of interviews. You know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. You got to extend it as much as you can. You probably got to have a deal set up with the agent, everything agreed to. You try to keep it under wraps, but of course you can't. So let's see how this plays out. Obviously, the leader in the clubhouse, Dan Quinn, and I have no reason to believe that that has changed. Dan Quinn, there is no such conflict other than, you know, he's got all these other interviews and all these other teams interested in him. So, let's see. All I know right now, guys, is they're concluding the interview with Bieniemy tonight, and they're going to, regroup tomorrow and, you know, hopefully there's more information coming from Peyton, but Peyton hadn't decided quite yet. Which way he's going to go with this. So we'll see.
All right, I guess we're past the point. I was sort of waiting to find out if they were going to add anybody, you know, Doug Peterson, somebody that had previous head coaching experience, but we're officially past that point, right?
I think so. Never say never, you know, and you know, you're always on guard for something like that, that there might be a mystery candidate somewhere. I have not heard of one. I do not believe there's one right now, but that doesn't mean that there's not, you know. I tell you, this has been a tough deal as far as getting information, because these guys just haven't, these guys aren't sleeping. You know, they're
well, I was going to ask you, let me just ask you then, because I think you're leading into it. Yeah. Have you heard anything about any of the interviews?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But you know what I've heard? What I've heard is, and an agent told me this, I have never in my life of representing coaches heard a candidate say the interview went poorly and the team say the interview went poorly. Now, I'm sure that has happened, but the moment after the interview is conducted and, you know, the first report you get, oh, it went great. I thought it went great. And that's how it is. You know, the interview counts some. It's kind of like the combine with the players. The tape ultimately is why you draft a guy. And in this case, it's for the coaches, the body of work is far more important than the four-hour interview.
Well, then if it's the body of work and this is the combine of coaches' interviews, who has the best tape after Dan Quinn?
You know, I think it's, you know, actually what I think the best tape is Kellen Moore, because he's the one that calls the plays. Of all the offensive coordinators, he calls all the plays for the number one offense and the number one scoring offense.
Mm. He's really the only one, right? None of the other candidates call plays, do they?
I believe Callahan does with the Bengals. And, you know, they're coming on. I think Burrow and Chase and all those guys found their groove 2 months earlier. Callahan would have had far more interest, and it would have been an in-person interview versus a Zoom interview for the Broncos. And then, you know, Bieniemy does, and I observed the Bieniemy Reed deal. And we've talked about this before, I do believe, but it sure looked like Bieniemy was calling the plays in the last game against the Broncos. I couldn't tell whether he was or wasn't in the playoff game last week against the Steelers. But Bieniemy, I know Andy Reid lets him do it from time to time. And as people have pointed out before, what difference does that make? You know, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, they didn't call plays either.
Mm-hmm.
And they got head coaching jobs. So we'll see about Bieniemy. I do think Bieniemy is going to, if they have, see, here's the underrated reason that Bieniemy has not received a job. And everybody analyzes the Bieniemy story. One of them, and this has hurt him, is that they're always deep in the playoffs.
Mm.
And it's hard to hire a coach that's deep in the playoffs because of what you guys presented earlier mm-hmm. in this chat with me. You know, they're not available till you know, you're going to hire a guy who's available now mm-hmm. versus a guy who's not available till after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And a lot more often than not, you just go back and research. The guy that's available now tends to get the job.
All right, Mike, we'll be following along. Should be an interesting weekend. If you had to take a guess real quick, if you had to take a guess when we'll hear one way or another, what day do you think it'll be?
I think we'll hear news. I think news will break on Monday.
Okay, that's our guy. Thank you, Mike.
Still second interviews.
All right, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.